to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 305 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm good, I'm very patient.
Patient, my computer started pretty quickly.
Yeah,
this one, didn't it?
Yeah,
so it wasn't pushing your buttons or
a bloody miracle. Yeah.
yeah, we're talking about patience or impatience today, something which we all deal with in one form or another. Some people are more patient than others for some reason. We will discover why, hopefully, or try to begin to understand. I'm very impatient about learning the reasons behind all that. Liveinthepresent.co.uk website, show notes and links are all there. Previous episodes, send us an email if there's anything you want us to discuss, and we'll lob it in an upcoming show. Or even if you would like to come on the show, you've got, you know, if you're relatively nearby in the northwest, you've got something you'd like to talk about, or maybe a book or a website or some kind of process that you've discovered, I don't know, for helping people, come on. Yeah. The show, come and meet us.
Yeah, that'd be good.
What you been up to, Sean?
Well, I'm just about to go to Qatar. We're squeezing this bin, aren't we, before I go?
Yeah.
So that, because with the next one, we'll be recording online. And you have to make sure you get the sound right, because people keep saying that when you record it online, Sean sounds too quiet. And you know how loud my voice needs to be. I am so important. You know how impatient I get.
All right, and I think last time I was in one ear and you were in another. I need to record it in mono or something. I will do my best as a really amateur audio sound engineer. Don't you worry. But the Wi-Fi is all right over there, I assume.
It depends.
It does
depend, doesn't it? It's. I'm actually staying in quite a good place when I'm over there, so it should be okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Should we talk about patience then?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I did think of this last week when I was. When you were waiting patiently for my computer to start up and prepare itself for the busy day ahead, as it likes to do every now and again, mainly when you come in front of it.
Do you think there's a relationship, causal relationship?
Probably not, but it's a handy excuse.
Blame me. That's okay.
But yeah, it got me thinking about patience, about how some people are more patient than others, and how sometimes something will happen for someone to kind of spill over an impatience. And anger will kind of drive us forward, and whether that's a positive thing. So, first question, are some people naturally more patient than others? Is this like learned habit? Or
I think it's learned at an individual level, and sometimes it's cultural, that we can be born in a richness. We can expect other people to do it for us and do it now. I want it now.
Yeah.
And have that expectation. And I think that we have to accept to some degree that younger people these days tend to be more impatient because they've been brought up in a more of a press button culture. In previous generations, where if you wanted to play with something, you'd have to go to the workshop and make it first. You know, the idea that you can grab something and virtually just press buttons and you're in it and you're doing
it. Yeah. I mean, I see that. Obviously, it's kind of a media Western culture thing now. I want it now. I want to get there now. I want to be on the other side of the world now.
Yeah. But I get that when I'm flying to Qatar, because it's a 7.5-hour flight going out, and you see people. Some people just get really frustrated, and they're like halfway through, you can see they're kind of huffing and puffing and looking at their watches and all that kind of stuff, and it ain't going to make it go any faster.
Honda, what was your Honda, what was it?
The Honda 50.
The Honda 50.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how uptight you get, it still only does the same speed.
Yeah, the speed limit or the top speed of this thing is X amount. No point getting yourself worked up about it, but some people do regardless. So what leads to that kind of behaviour? Is that a cultural thing where we expect things now, or are these incidents and things that happen in people's lives that lead?
But I think that it can be individual in that sense. Either it's learned from a parent or a sibling, or it can be learned from a culture or an event. You know, if you found yourself in a situation, you get it with men who have a PA. You know, they're in an important position, and they've got a PA, and they can just click their fingers, and the PA runs around doing everything for them.
Yeah.
And then you find they go home and start treating their family like they treat their employees. And then you get all kinds of problems kicking off because they've lost their patience with the family around them.
Yeah, I mean, I deal with a lot of, you know, business owners, and I take care of their marketing and design and website stuff. So I get a lot of polite but impatient emails directed at me, you know, because maybe the website's down for this, that, or the other reason.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously, it's, when a website is down, if it's something that I have the ability to remedy quickly, then I can understand the sense of impatience there, depending on the business and the time of day and that kind of thing. But it's quite fascinating, yeah, the emails I'll get and the sense of impatience behind.
If you think about things like Amazon, I ordered stuff yesterday that will be delivered today. So I didn't have to get in the car, go anywhere to get it. I didn't have to, you know, organise a trip to do it. I just pressed a few buttons on my screen, and today someone's going to deliver these things to the door. And that very swiftly moves to me being, oh, my God, I've got to go shopping. And it's a bit like if you're doing Asda or Ocado or whatever it is that does your shopping and delivers it to the door.
Yeah.
You know, you can get to the point where the idea, you know, would I actually waste my time going to a shop to buy food when someone's going to bring it to my door?
Yep.
Kind of stuff. And then, and that's, I think those kinds of impatient bits start to develop.
Yeah.
From there.
Yeah, we start to expect a certain level of service or a certain speed of delivery or speed of movement even.
Yeah.
You know, obviously I'm fascinated by how people get around and the environmental damage that it can do. We choose certain modes of transport over a certain other, and I am impatient with the pace of change and the rate of change in terms of I mean, I want to slow people down, you know, not just in the work that we do in the podcast and the benefits to meet people's well-being, but like the actual, I want to slow traffic down, I want lower speed limits to try and just take the impatience out that I see in every day when I'm out.
But that's a two-sided thing because, yeah, if everybody learns to drive slow and to be more relaxed, blood pressure comes down and runs. But if someone needs to get somewhere and they can't go any faster and it's like, oh, my God,
yeah,
then their blood pressure's going up. So there's this idea, isn't there, that the Europeans are introducing this thing where your car will be fitted with an automatic device so you can't go above the speed limit in the street.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm fascinated by this stuff, yeah.
Which obviously is amazing, but are people going to be going, argh! Yeah.
I guess, go on.
I was going to say, my favourite, I was saying to you earlier on, is where we are here, there's a tunnel that goes through to Liverpool. There's two tunnels, in fact.
Yep.
And early in the morning when it's the rush hour and people are trying to get through the tunnel is when you get the most bizarre impatient behaviours. And it's magnified at the moment because one of the tunnels is shut. The old tunnel is shut. So
is it?
For repairs.
Okay, cool.
So the only tunnel that's available is the motorway one.
The Wallasey
Kingsway
one, yeah.
Yeah. But I was going into that tunnel couple of years ago, early in the morning, rush hour time, and there was a guy, he actually leant out of his car and shouted at the woman in front, the accelerator's the pedal on the right, you stupid effing female bovine person, and you know, press it. And he was doing this because she had left a car space in the queue between her and the car in front, and he was obsessed with the fact that she should move up this car space. You could see it, you know, the veins were throbbing in his forehead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the mere fact that we call it rush hour is indicative of our society, isn't it? Because it's, you know, it's almost expecting and that impatience and that. It's rush hour. Maybe if we renamed it to calm hour instead, people would slow down.
Yeah.
And I don't know, that kind
of thing. But is that the same as like happy hour in a bar? That's where you can go and you just kick back and chill for an hour. Is that
with some 2-for-1 cocktails?
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Is that people trying to do that? You know, calm hour, chill man.
If only we've got a bit of work to go before there. But do we need impatient people? Like me and my tiny little bit of work I'm doing on environmental stuff, but on a bigger scale, like Greta Thunberg, she's the young, she's 15, 16-year-old student who takes, she's been on strike every Friday or once a month, and she's built this movement of students and kids around the world that are striking once a month on a Friday for climate change action, because people are becoming impatient about the rate of change. So do we need that impatience sometimes in our lives? to get shit done.
I think that what you're identifying is a driver that makes people do stuff. You know, if you're too laid back and it's like, oh yeah, okay, plastic bags, okay, it's okay. You know, we all die of plastic poisoning. So yes, there's a balance here. I suppose it's like when we talk about anxiety. Anxiety is normal. Anxiety disorder isn't. And does that mean that impatience has a normality about it, but when it becomes a disorder, it becomes overriding, then it's a problem?
Right.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, because my impatience about environmental stuff has, you know, hopefully is leading me in a positive direction, but it has taught me a lot about the art of persuasion as well. So my impatience, I need to keep it in check and I need to, you know, tame it a little bit, because if I, you know, run into meetings with some, you know, councillors or cabinet members, and I'm effing and blinding about, you know, my life being put in danger every morning as I'm just trying to get to work, and about, you know, how people are getting in cars for tiny little journeys, it's not productive, is it? It's not going to get the message across, and it's not going to see the kind of change that we need. So I have to keep that impatience in check, which is hard.
And we have our mutual vegan friend, and one of the things I was saying is that if you want to encourage people to be vegan, you don't get impatient and angry with them. What you do is you get positive with them, so you show them the wonders of being veganism, of being a vegan, and you show them wonderful vegan food.
Yeah.
As opposed to yesterday, God bless you, darling, she turned up and gave me a load of leaflets about butter, and because I still eat a bit of cheese, so she said, this will stop you eating cheese. And that has, it's called Coué's law of reversed effort. It has the opposite effect.
Yeah.
On people, it doesn't get people positively engaged.
Mm.
And like all the people that march and riot about whatever their issue is would alienate more people than they will get to their cause.
Mm.
They have the reverse effect. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like we change people with positive messages, not negative messages. But it takes a while for people to get their head around that one.
Yeah. So like impatience can lead to poor decision making in one of the articles I'm going to link to sometimes, because we can be clouded by our obsessions, can't we?
Mm.
And we can then make the wrong decision in terms of how we get it across, and then that can have the reverse effect on people, can't it? So yeah, I mean, the vegan stuff, yeah, powerful. There's a very powerful message. You know, you can't argue with it, actually, in terms of the environmental side of things and the animal welfare side. You can't argue at all with people that are putting their correct message across. But I do see, you know, in the comments on under things and on news pieces, when you're telling people they can't eat meat anymore, or they're not going to be able to eat meat anymore, or it's going to be more expensive. Same with driving. It has some very, quite interesting, you know, it provokes some interesting reactions for people that have been used to eating meat for 50, 60, 100 years, or getting around in their cars at the speed of light for X amount of time. So you've got to rethink how you get that message across.
There was an interesting thing on the motorway. You know, I was working in Scotland last week.
Mm.
So I stopped off in a motorway by a service by Carlisle, that kind of area. And there's this notice on the wall in the loo that says, it was the pizza provider, and it said, if you have to wait more than 10 minutes for your pizza or something like that, we'll give it to you for free. And I'm thinking, because I was thinking at the time that we're so used to kind of fast food that the idea that you sit and wait for someone to prepare your food for you has gone out the window.
Yeah.
So it's like, I want my pizza within 10 minutes of saying, I want it, and I want it now.
Yeah, and they'll be checking, they'll have a timer going, won't they?
Yeah, yeah.
9 minutes, 30 seconds, oh, here we go, we're going to get our free pizza.
Yeah.
Instead of maybe, you know, you're stopping off for a break at a motorway service station.
And just chill and relax.
Chill out, you know, recharge, you're going to be back on that doing your 70 miles an hour soon.
That's one thing, you just used the word recharge, because one of the things I was thinking when I was there is they had loads of charging points in the motorway, which I thought, that's interesting. So people would be there recharging their cars. But to recharge a car takes longer than to fill it with fuel.
Yeah.
So maybe the recharging of electric cars will slow people down.
Yeah, well, a lot of electric car stuff is about speeding that process up, so there are a lot of technologies coming in that will, you know, battery, you'll be able to charge your battery in 10 minutes instead of half an hour. So that's a big thing, because people are used to a certain rate of refilling their cars, our cars, with fuel.
I thought they'd end up giving you replacement batteries, so you change your battery for a charge.
Yeah. Tesla tried that in America, but no one did it. because I think when you do own an electric car, you do, you get, it's a different way of getting around. So you'll charge it overnight at home, most of the time, and most journeys in cars are quite short, you know, and even which is part of the reason why I'm not overly obsessed with electric cars like I used to be. It's like they're not the actual answer to our transport issues, but maybe electric cars are a good way of kind of get people to slow down a bit and just relax a little bit. Maybe motorway service stations will become healthier, happier places to be. So rather than legging it in, getting your fuel, getting a bite from, you know, a Chinster's pasty or whatever, and getting back out there, maybe there'll be more of an opportunity to just sit and chill out, and they'll become nicer places to be.
There was a thing in some motorways for services for a while where they had the massage chairs where you stick a pound in, you fly there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Massage. I've seen those.
Yeah, I haven't seen so many. Maybe they didn't take off like they should.
Yeah. Would you say you're a patient person?
I know I am a patient person because I know that I tolerate a lot of people that other people won't tolerate. So I will see patients, clients, whatever, that I know other people won't see. Or I will see people for longer than other people are prepared to see.
Is that patience, though, or do you just like it? Do you like the challenge of working with...
No, I just think that some people take their time to develop, not my time. And that means that they might take months or years rather than weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's okay, because people develop at their own time. Mm-hmm. But other people can be judgmental and say, they should be doing this now, which is what happens.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work like that.
You must have breaking points, though, with patients or outside of work.
The only things that I get very impatient about, if it's in the workplace, it's all the bullying stuff. I get very impatient about that. But it's when, if someone is intransigent and won't move, then in the end I will say to somebody that this therapy is pointless. You know, you're not getting anywhere with this. You know, you need to go and do something else. And that's okay. That's all right.
All right, cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm reasonably patient-ish. I should get Bethan on really, my wife, to discuss it. Yeah. But now I can be quite impatient. And my dad is a top fella, obviously, but he's quite an impatient guy. You know, so I've inherited a bit of that, and having two young lads who are like really try my patience a lot of the time, they're probably the two things in my life which really test my patience.
One of the things,
just getting the shoes on in the morning, or getting William dressed for school, or asking him to get dressed, and, you know, come down 10 minutes later and he's still sat there in his pyjamas. William, go in 2 minutes, come on. Yeah.
What will test my patience is, because I do a lot of the cooking, is no one puts anything back in the right bloody place, so you can never find what you want when you're trying to cook.
Yeah.
And when you want to open a drawer and just put your hand in and it's not there, then you've got to search for it. And that can stop your flow, you know, so I do get a bit cheesed off by that.
Do you think people get more impatient as they get older because they realise they're running out of time, or that is that a thing?
I think people's tolerance gets less as they get older generally. Obviously not everybody, but I think that some people just get to the point, I think they regress back towards being children when they want other people to do things for them now.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I want something, I want it now. So they might ring up their child or whatever and say, I need you to come and help me do this now. And it's like, well, I'll be over in a couple of hours, but I need it now.
Yeah.
And actually they don't, but in their world, it's focused on that I need now, me.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah, interesting.
I've got a few examples here that I see as being indications of our growing impatience. So the first thing would be credit and credit cards, because a credit card allows you to have the future and the present, because you're not patient enough to save the money to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So you get it now and then pay it off later over time. So it's the future and the present stuff.
For sure.
Yeah?
Yep.
If you look at a lot of dieting stuff, to lose weight, you have to use more calories than you put in, and that means you've got to move your body. But lots of people want to use dieting where they can sit there and do the same things and hopefully lose weight without putting any effort into it.
Yeah, so they're not... We need to be careful and quiet here, because the company next door in the room over there is just like that kind of surgery and whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when you do a quick 2-week diet, or even Botox or surgery for removing a to take the issue. You're not fixing the underlying issue necessarily, are you?
But the thing is that I've written down here kind of Botox, boob jobs, that kind of stuff. Is like a lot of that is if you develop the muscles in your chest, then your boobs rise anyway. If you you can do a bit of face exercises to kind of straighten your face out a bit. You can do face yoga. But all those things take effort, don't they? Because if you can go to somebody and they can stick a few needles in your head and you can get the effect that you want immediately, it feeds into the impatience. Mm-hmm. And the ultimate impatience for me is things like gastric bands and the liposuction stuff that all happen because people don't have the patience to go through the process to lose the weight.
Yeah.
You know?
And there are some real benefits about putting that hard work in, aren't there? It's massively rewarding, I assume, to be able to say that, yeah, I worked for, you know, we see those stories every now and again on the news of 18 months ago, I weighed 22 stone, now look at me, this kind of thing.
I've got...
And they're inspiring, aren't they, man?
I've got people that I work with like that who have lost kind of 8 stone, 9 stone, under their own steam. Mm. You know, they've done it.
Yeah,
just through determination and getting the diet right and stuff like that.
Yeah, and learning the other things along the way about yourself.
Yeah,
We all take shortcuts. You're taking a shortcut to Qatar. You're not going to be walking or riding a bike or on a train or getting 100 trains to there. I wonder if there's a way you can get a train. High-speed rail, man, that's the future. But yeah, you're going to hop on a flight. It'll be, what, seven hours?
Seven and a half in, about 6:50 coming back because the wind's behind you coming back.
Have you worked out how much CO2 will be emitted from that flight?
No. I mean, and one of the things is, I don't know what it would be like at the moment, but I have been on those flights, and there's been so few people on the flight, relatively, that people have been lying across the seats like beds, and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's times when it's jam-packed full, but I have been on them when they've been virtually empty. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, obviously, your carbon footprint is going to vary, isn't it, by how many people are on the plane?
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
And so, yeah.
But, hey, man, maybe we'll have a high-speed rail right around the world at some point. That's the future.
Yeah.
Very efficient way of getting around. And I think, actually, just saw yesterday that some European, I think it was Sweden, but saying we need to introduce overnight rail, high-speed rail services again to as an option to get around flight, like our addiction to getting to flying all the time. So you would hop on a train,
go to sleep,
get a good night's kip and wake up, you know, other side of Europe or whatever, or halfway across. It's pretty cool.
They did promise me, God, it must have been in the 1990s, I went to a meeting at Crewe with the railways, and they promised me that I'd be able to drive my car onto a train in Crewe and drive it off in Italy.
Oh, wow.
That's what they promised me, and it's never happened.
Not yet.
But that's what they were saying would happen. Yeah.
Well, someone trying to call me. Mm. The website might be down. Impatiently, I'll need to get that fixed. Whatever it could be. All right, cool. Have you got a resource?
Well, my resource is one of my basic standards, and it's like, if you want to learn to be patient and you want to learn to live in the moment, meditate.
Mm.
Yeah, there's a million apps to go out there, whether it's our mate Andy at Headspace or, you know, whoever it is. There's loads of stuff out there, and what it does is it turns off that drive to keep driving forward.
Yeah.
If you're in a car and you're waiting in the traffic, enjoy being in the car, enjoy being around you, be in that mindful meditative space, maybe have some nice sounds on the radio, and think, oh, aren't I lucky to have this opportunity to have 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour just to sit here and relax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Rather than, I've got to be there.
I'll link to a Greta Thunberg speech at one of her little TED Talks, because I think she's a good example of a young person who has channeled her impatience in a very positive kind of way, in a structured kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, she's doing some amazing work.
So how old do you say she is?
I think she's 15, maybe 16 now.
So she must have quite a good mind on her if she's able to...
Yeah.
All that and do.
Well, I think she is. What's the begins with an A? Forgotten. Autistic.
All right.
So she have a much. She's on that spectrum, as we all are, but she's quite leaning to one side of it. We could have talked about that really in terms of some people's minds when they are autistic. They're their hell bent on getting something done.
Done now.
But she's channeled it with the help of her parents, so I think in a very positive way.
She's
getting invited now to speeches at the UN and all sorts of important people, so fair play, man. If you do it, if you play your cards right, you can do it, you can get stuff done. Can't you?
It's great, it's good.
Okay, right.
Love it.
Sean, have a safe flight across.
Yeah, so next time we'll be talking across the airwaves.
Yeah.
From Doha.
There'll be a sandstorm going on outside your window or something like that, maybe.
There's sandstorms out there at the moment. Looks a bit hairy.
All right. Enjoy. Right. Take it easy.
You take care.
See you, Sean.
Bye.
Bye.